Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is composer-pianist Aaron Deal. Though still a student at Juilliard, he's an upcoming force in jazz with brilliant technique and original interpretations of the music of Tatum and Ellington and other greats. It's great to see you, Aaron.
And good to see
thank you,
Ms.
for coming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
No wonder Wynton Marsalis calls you the real deal.
Oh.
That's a cute name.
Oh, I'm probably gonna stick with that.
How long have you been at Juilliard?
How long? It's been about 4 years now. And this is my last year.
Did you come there from Columbus?
I did. Once I graduated from high school, I went to start the undergraduate program at Juilliard. So it was a big transition from going to Columbus, Ohio to New York.
I imagine it was. Why did you choose Juilliard?
Well, first I wanted to be in New York City. If I was going to play jazz, I thought that would be the best city to go to in terms of the environment and all the musicians are in New York. A lot of great young musicians, a lot of great older musicians. So, and Juilliard has such a great reputation in the performing arts, and they now have a jazz program, so I thought it would be a great idea to study there.
It looks like you're doing great, and I'm dying to hear you play something.
Oh, well, thank you. This first composition is by Fats Waller, and it's entitled A Handful of Keys.
Oh, that's a hard one. I'll just listen. You know, that's one of my favorite Fats Waller tunes. And when I was a kid, I used to try to play that, but I really never did get it down. But it's funny, I would have thought that would be a more popular tune. It seems that Honeysuckle Rose is the tune of choice for most people.
Yeah, I don't hear Handful of Keys so much. Maybe it's because it's so hard to play like Fats played it. It's unbelievable how he played. I have a couple recordings, and one is, I think, a live radio broadcast of him playing, and he's playing at lightning speed, and I can never get it that fast. And everything is clear and crisp, and you can hear every note, and it's swinging incredibly hard.
Well, but you picked a good tempo, and everything was clear and crisp, as you say. So you don't really have to go at that mad pace.
Oh, don't worry, I won't. No, I'm not going
to
try.
As a kid, I used to listen to a lot of his records. I had all the records because I had a boyfriend who brought records over to the house. I had all the greats. I loved Duke. I just loved the harmony. Don't you like his harmony?
I love his. I love everything about Duke. His composing, his melodies, harmonies, his rhythms. I played the piano, so aggressive with the piano at times, and then at other times, very subtle, very soft and sweet.
He could do it all. He could be very loud and, as you say, aggressive, and then he could had a really beautiful, soft touch. Are you going to play a Duke, too? Would it be nice to do one?
Sure, absolutely. This is a tune that he wrote as part of the Queen Suite.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Well, Queen Suite in 1959 for Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And I heard that he pressed only one copy for the Queen and sent it to her. And in his lifetime, the suite was never released to the public. But this is A Single Petal of a Rose.
That's a lovely tune. I am dying to hear your version of it.
Okay, here we go.
Well, you played it beautifully.
Thank you.
And I like it that the melody is sort of in the bass, with the left hand.
It's gorgeous how he did that, and so mysterious. I think he said, describing the piece, he said that it was supposed to evoke a sense of wonder, and it certainly does.
Yes, he got a really good musical portrait of the Queen, that's for sure. Well, there's more to come with my guest, Aaron Deal. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Do you say to trying a duet?
Let's do one. How about Delaunay's Dilemma by the great John Lewis?
You know, I don't know anybody that plays that tune, or hardly anybody. I'm knocked out because it'll be fun to play. And John did once in a while show his sense of humor, and this is it. Well, here we go.
Okay.
Thank you. Not bad for two people.
Oh, no, that
never
was
great. Saw one another.
That was a lot of fun. I don't get the chance to play that too often. And I've unfortunately never met Mr. Lewis, but I know his wife, Mariana Lewis.
She's still teaching, I think.
I don't know if she's still teaching it, but I did some work for her with John Lewis's manuscripts. And it was an opportunity for me to see all of Mr. Lewis's manuscripts and how he wrote and the process, and it was an incredible experience. I worked with her for maybe about 6 months.
He was so meticulous.
He was, I could tell.
Precise.
What was his personality like?
Sort of, I won't say straight-laced, but very sort of correct and proper.
Very sophisticated.
Sophisticated, yeah. A very nice man, very decent. And I went to Japan. We had this group of piano players, and he was one of them, myself, Duke Jordan. I was the only woman there, in the Tommy Flanagan. And John was sort of the boss, you know, the teacher telling who would play with who.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted the tune to be short. And Tommy and I were sort of mischievous. We picked the longest tune we could find. by Cole Porter. He said, just one tune. And it was this one tune, but it went on for a long while. But, you know, we were sort of like pranksters with John because he would be rather serious. But I loved his music, and I was just thinking of a tune I learned when I was working at the Hickory House a million years ago called Afternoon in Paris. You know that one?
Absolutely.
Maybe I could play that for you.
Oh, please, I'd love to hear it.
Thank you.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
You know where Mr. Lewis got that title from? Afternoon in Paris?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. Just asking, maybe you knew.
He was quite young at the time. He may have been cavorting around with some young lady, who knows? When you started playing piano, did you have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister who's a lot older than I am. She's about 11 years older than I am. And I didn't really grow up with her so much because she was a lot older. So by the time I was in fourth grade, she was already in college. So, but my musical influences, I suppose, came from my grandfather, who's a trombonist and pianist. His name's Arthur Baskerville, and he always showed me tunes when I was a little kid. I'd Take the A Train and Satin Doll, like that.
Well, obviously you had a piano in the house.
I did. And he'd always come over and teach me tunes here and there. And he's probably my biggest influence to this day. So,
well, it really makes a difference when there's somebody in the house plays, and if you have any kind of interest in music, you're going to really get into it when you have somebody that's encouraging you.
Absolutely.
And so did they, your parents, think you should take lessons? Or?
Yeah, my mom decided she'd give me piano lessons. I'd always tinker on the piano when I was about 5 or 6. So when I was 7, she decided to give me classical lessons. And I studied with a lady named Joanne Hall. It was my first piano teacher. And I always remember my grandmother picking me up from school and taking me to piano lessons every, I think it was Thursday. Every Thursday she would take me after school. And I really enjoyed it, even when I was so young. And a lot of times we'd go hear my grandpa on gigs. He'd play with some local musicians. They had a place called the Marble Gang on Mount Vernon Avenue. You might be familiar with that, in Columbus, Ohio. And every Saturday they had something called, I think, Jazz and Eggs. And he'd go play with some of the local musicians there. And I'd always be exposed to the music that way.
Oh, that was great for you. What kind of music did they play?
They played the standards, Ellington, Strayhorn, played stuff that Count Basie made famous, music from the American Songbook, all kinds of things.
So did you manage to pick them up by ear?
I did. My grandpa would sit down with me sometimes and teach me songs. I really didn't get into jazz until later on in life, though, because I was studying a lot of classical music when I was younger. Somehow I grew to like jazz more the older I got. When I was really young, I'd kind of brush it off a little bit, but I thought it was, excuse the expression, old people's music.
I think there are still people around today that think that.
but it's so great, and I grew to really love it. Actually, one of my first influences in jazz was Eldar Jangiro. When I went to Interlaken, I heard him. I went to Interlaken for a couple summers.
We had him on Piano Jazz when he was about 12. He just seemed tiny and really, but playing well.
Oh yeah.
I mean, amazing, wasn't he?
I remember when he was about 13 and so much technique and so a lot of influence, I think, from Oscar Peterson. He played a lot of things that Oscar Peterson would play, and he was very good. So I hear this kid play. I said, man, okay, so this isn't old people's music. So once I heard him and I heard some other young musicians, I said, I'm going to give this a try. And I started playing more jazz.
Who were your favorite piano players?
When I started playing, I loved a lot of Oscar Peterson. I think that's a lot of people's first influences. The more people I run into say, yeah, my first influence was probably Oscar Peterson, but I heard all kinds of pianists. Oscar, Art Tatum was another.
Oh, mine too.
He was one of my favorites. Let's see, who else? Horace Silver, Duke, absolutely. Duke and Basie.
As a piano player as well.
Oh, absolutely. And Duke as a composer and pianist. And Basie. And then I grew on from there. I started listening to Monk, who I personally didn't enjoy when I first heard him. I said, what is this? But he is probably one of my favorite pianists. He has such a beautiful and unique tone on the piano.
Yes.
And I've tried to get remnants of the sound that he gets out the piano, but it's very, very difficult. I don't know how he did it. But he's one of my favorite. And there are so many others that I could mention that were big influences early on.
I used to go down to the Five Spot and listen to Monk. He used to, in those days, he would, when the other musicians were playing, he would get up and do his little dance. He always had a weird-looking hat on, and he would get up from the piano and do his own little dance and then sit down and play again. It was fascinating. Not only the music, but the action that went on in the band.
Well, how did the band deal with that? They just kept playing while he was
dancing? Oh, sure. It was like considered very normal. They just played. Nobody objected, or it was in the act.
I often hear recordings of Monk where there would be periods of time where he's not playing at all, and I often wonder if he's up dancing.
He could have been, very easily. Well, there's more to come with this wonderful young pianist, Aaron Deal. For more information about piano jazz and a list of the tunes played on today's program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. How did you learn all the tunes you've learned? By ear, or off a record, or?
A lot of different ways. Some by ear, off of records. Some on the gig, and musicians say, well, I'm just going to teach you this tune since you don't know it. But recently, there have been musicians who I've been influenced by, who actually look at the music, the original sheet music, and learn from the sheet music. One pianist is Bill Charlap, who...
Oh, Bill is a great player.
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my main influences. And he comes to Juilliard once a while and gives a jazz improvisation class, and he talks about, in depth, the song, whether it's by Vernon Duke or Hoagy Carmichael. He knows all these composers, and he really is about getting in depth with learning the song, the lyrics, the original chord changes, and really getting into the sheet music, the verses. So just recently I started to kind of get in depth with the American popular song with different composers. And he's certainly been an influence on me with that. And Eric Reed as well. He's also notorious for really digging into the sheet music and understanding the original tune before he does other things with it in a jazz context.
Actually, that's a good idea to know what the original chord changes were before you take it and do your own thing with it.
Oh, exactly. It's like Bill said to me one time. He said, you have to think like Coleman Hawkins. Coleman Hawkins didn't have a Coleman Hawkins version of Body and Soul when he first played it. He had to go to the sheet music to to figure it out. So
he probably did. It became the Holman Hawkins version of the tune Forever.
Exactly.
So good. Exactly. I didn't know Bill was doing a class at Juilliard.
Well, we have every Tuesday we have something called a jazz improvisation class, and we have different guests come in. Great jazz musicians from Bill. He's done a couple classes. I'm trying to think. Benny Golson has done a class. Joe Lovano has done a class. A lot of great jazz musicians have done it. And they just talk about improvisation, how they approach improvisation, and they try to help us along with our studies in that respect.
Well, how did you get started with improvisation?
I suppose, again, from my grandpa, he taught me some vocabulary, but mainly from the records. I listened to records. One of my favorite improvisers probably would be Bud Powell. And when I first heard Bud, I got a Blue Note box set. It was the complete Blue Note and Roost recordings. And I listened to this over and over again, and I really wasn't all that thrilled at first with Bud's playing, for whatever reason. I guess I was so used to hearing Oscar Peterson, and that was one style, and Bud's was another. But it slowly started to grow on me. And one of my favorite Bud compositions is one that's kind of obscure. It's called Bud on Bach.
Now that's one I don't know.
Yeah, Bud plays C.P. Bach's Solfeggio, or Solfeggio, I don't know really how to pronounce it, but he plays this piece before. It's one of C.P. Bach's compositions. He plays this before this piece, Bud on Bach, and then he goes into this wonderful composition that he wrote. It's a very simple melody. It's not very complex at all, but it's wonderful, very, very swinging.
Are you going to play that for us?
I'm going to attempt to play it.
Oh, well, so, with your chops, I'm sure it's going to be wonderful.
Oh, thank you. So this is Bud on Bach by Bud Powell.
Okay. Thank you. That's wonderful. When did you learn that piece?
Let's see. It's probably been about 6 months ago or so.
Did you take that off a record, or did you have the music?
Well, I actually had to find the Bach. I had to find the music, the actual sheet music. But I learned Bud's piece off the record. And we performed it at Juilliard. I think last spring we did a bebop concert. And we started this, it was a small ensemble concert, and we started the set with this piece. And everybody was like, I thought we were coming to hear jazz, you know. But of course, when the actual composition was played, and people realized it was a piece that Bud composed. So it was a great concert.
Well, Bud was so great that he could do both things. I mean, he played the classical part just as well as he did his jazz numbers.
Yeah, I hear he was an incredible musician. I can hear that on the records. But what was it like? Did you know him personally?
I did know him. We, as a matter of fact, we played some duets together at somebody's house.
What was he like as a personality?
Well, he was rather strange. He was a little offbeat, you mm-hmm. might say. I suppose we were friends in a way, although we didn't talk a lot. He just didn't talk a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
But he was an awfully sweet guy. And when he was sick in the hospital, I went to see him. And I remember him saying something like, do people still remember me? Which was so poignant for a guy as well known as him. But he was in the hospital quite a while. So
he was in and out, right?
Yes. And then he went to France and lived with this guy.
Right.
I can't think of his name.
He wrote a biography, right? Called Dance of the Infidels.
It's quite a book. And the guy that wrote it really loved Bud.
I have not read the book yet, actually. And I'm going to read the biography, but...
Yeah, it's really a story, really a fascinating story and all true.
Hmm.
I'm really happy that I got to know Bud and to play with him and hang out with him a little bit. One of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's more to come with my guest, Aaron Deal. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Visit us on the web and subscribe to our podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts, at pianojazz.npr.org. What do you think about doing some music by another great guy, Hoagy Carmichael?
Hoagy Carmichael, absolutely.
I was just thinking, the same place where Bud and I played duets, I played duets with Hoagy.
Hmm.
This friend's house, they had two grand pianos, and he gave a lot of parties, and that's how Bud and I got together. And then later, one time with Hoagy. But Hoagy would take over the whole place and play tune after tune. And then I wrote, and then he'd play something else. And then I wrote. I mean, he's got some wonderful tunes that people don't play a lot, like Blue Orchids. Do you know that one?
I don't know that one. I have to learn it.
One Morning in May.
I do. Yes, indeed.
Well, what do you say we have a go at playing One Morning in May?
One Morning in May. All right.
It's nice like that.
It's beautiful.
I thought you were going to go into tempo, and then I thought, well, maybe he's not. And it's nice the way it is.
No, it's nice.
It's such a beautiful tune.
It is beautiful. Gorgeous.
I think Hoagie would be very pleased with that.
Oh, I hope so.
Well, I must tell you, it's been a great time with you here.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
So no wonder they call you the real deal. Oh. It's a good name for you.
Oh, thanks.
And since this is our last tune, I think a blues is very fitting, especially a Duke blues.
Absolutely. Well, since we're on the track of obscure songs, maybe we could play a obscure blues.
You've introduced me to a couple of obscure tunes. Oh. This would certainly be one. What's the name of it?
It's called the B-sharp Blues.
The B-sharp Blues.
It's on an album called Piano Reflections, a great trio album that Duke recorded in the 50s.
So how is this going to go? Is it a medium or slow?
It's just a medium blues. It goes...
Thank you.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest has been Aaron Deal. Join us each week at this time for an hour of conversation and improvisation with Marian McPartland's friends. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assistant recording engineer Sam Gianelli, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon, executive producer Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1101 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. To find out more about the artists and music selections heard on Piano Jazz, or to listen to a recent program, visit our website, pianojazz.npr.org. There you'll find a link to subscribe to our weekly Piano Jazz preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts. Support for Piano Jazz comes from Fazioli Pianos. Manufactured in Sacile, Italy, handcrafted by artisans, played in concert halls worldwide. Fazioli Pianos, on the web at fazioli.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, celebrating 10 years of support for the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.